I was so glad that Billy ended the last session with that shot from the church, because that's what it's going to be like. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this message has been designed for those who may be left behind. You were one of those handful of people when the trumpet sounded and you realized you have been left behind. What instructions, what words of encouragement can I give to those who have been left behind? I realize that this is going to be going on the web, and so I may be speaking to someone after the rapture. And so this is designed for those people who may be left behind and searching for answers. It's also designed for their... We have probably about 200 people here. I would be foolish indeed to assume that everyone here knows the Lord. If the rapture was to take place right now, there would be those who would be left behind. And so this is an exhortation also for those who might be attending the conference who have not yet ready to meet the Lord. What happened? You have been left behind. Some of your Christian friends probably warned you using passages like 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Or 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep or dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The age of grace, the church age, is over. And the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period, is about to begin. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so there's none like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Jacob is another name for Israel. Matthew chapter 24. For then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. If you are watching this video after the rapture, you need to be warned. We are about to enter the darkest time of human history. The book of the Revelation talks about what is going to be like after the rapture. It's a time of wrath. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll and is rolled together. Every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men and chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman, every free man hid themselves in the den and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? What happened to those people who disappeared? Well, if we go to the book of the Revelation, Revelation chapter 4, we get a clue. Revelation 4, verse 1, John in a vision is caught up to heaven. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was the voice of a trumpet talking to me, saying, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. John's vision is from heaven. And in heaven he sees a group of redeemed people. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Who are the redeemed from every kindred, tongue, people, and nation? It has to be the church. And listen what the people in the church say in the next verse. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. They're in heaven. But they're coming back to reign on earth. How can you be in heaven, yet you're going to come back and reign on earth? Means the saints, the church, is in heaven when Jesus opens the seven seals. Revelation 5 talks about the Lord opening these seals, which I believe is a title deed to the earth. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne, that's God the Father, a book written within on the backside, sealed with seven seals, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. This is kind of strange because John hasn't read the book of the Revelation yet. So he doesn't know who will be able to open the seals. He would be in a short time thereafter. When he finishes writing the book of the Revelation, he will know. But at this time, he has not written Revelation, and he's weeping because no one can open that seal. One of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the books and to loose the seven seals thereof. And the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, which are both titles of the Messiah, came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Revelation 6:1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. This is not man's wrath. This is not Satan's wrath. This is the Lord opening the seven seals. And when he does, he brings the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of those seals. That's Jesus. And I heard as it were a voice of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he went, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That is a reference to the Antichrist. I have people who actually say the Bible doesn't ever speak about the Antichrist. I say, which Bible do you have? Little children, is the last time, and as you heard, the Antichrist shall come. He is coming. But here, the church was in heaven witnessing the Lord taking the scroll from God the Father, and they witnessed the Lord opening the first seal, which is the Antichrist. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 to 9, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who lets or hinders will let or hinder until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. The Antichrist cannot be revealed until the restrainer has been removed. And how does the tribulation period begin? When the Antichrist confirms the 7-year covenant with Israel. If he cannot be revealed until the restrainer has been removed, and the tribulation period begins with the signing of the Antichrist signing a covenant with Israel, what does that mean? The church has to be gone before the tribulation period begins. Second horseman. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard a second beast saying, come and see. And they went out, another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. Book of Daniel says the Antichrist will come to power by peace. He seduced many. The Antichrist will seduce Israel into a false peace process. The book of Isaiah says this is called Israel's covenant with death and with hell. The second horseman brings war. In Matthew chapter 24, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Third horseman. And when he'd opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard in a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny. Actually, that is the Greek word denarius. And probably been better if it had been translated denarius, because a denarius is one day's salary. Three measures of barley for a denarius, and see thou hurt not the wine and the oil. A measure of wheat was the ration for a Roman soldier in the time of Rome. In other words, it's going to take one day's salary to buy food for one man. It's going to be a time of starvation. See, whenever you have world wars, famines always follow. Because many of the farmers, instead of farming, are fighting in the wars. And many of the fields, you can't farm because there are tanks and artillery. It's not safe to go on the farm. So many people will go hungry. In Matthew 24, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom of kingdoms, there shall be famines. Fourth horseman. When he'd opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see," and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. Matthew says that's pestilence or disease, pandemics, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. At the beginning of the tribulation period, one quarter of the world's population is going to die by the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And this is not man's wrath. This is not Satan's wrath. It is the Lord who is opening the seals. If you are left behind, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period is going to be like no other time. 2 billion people dying. In 3.5 years, by war, famine, and disease. And Matthew 24:7, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom of kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences. He also throws in earthquakes in diverse places. But then Jesus said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Greek word for sorrows is birth pangs. Actually, in Jeremiah 31, all these are the beginnings of sorrows. It's the same word, birth pangs. Birth pangs increase in intensity and frequencies. And so as we see the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and people, when they even see the painting of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and then frightens them half to death, that's the beginning. Second Thessalonians 2, verse 7, a verse that is so frightening. It says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who lets will let until he be taken out of the way. This would appear to be the Holy Spirit working in the church. Now the Holy Spirit is not going to be removed physically. The Holy Spirit is everywhere present. Where can I flee from your Spirit? Asked the psalmist. There's nowhere where you can flee from a spirit. The Bible says there's going to be a great multitude that is saved during the tribulation period. In order for someone to come to the Lord, you need the working of the Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. It is not talking about him no longer being here. It is not talking about him stopping working with the conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit will no longer restrain the spirit of Antichrist. Let me put it in perspective. During the darkest days of the Inquisition, the Inquisition could go no further than what the Holy Spirit allowed. During the darkest period of the Holocaust, the Nazis could go no further than what the Holy Spirit allowed. The Holy Spirit is no longer restraining. When Billy in the earlier session said, all hell will break forth on the planet Earth, that's not an exaggeration. For then shall be great tribulation, such as not at the beginning of the world, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. The tribulation is the darkest, most wicked 7-year period in the history of mankind. So if you're left behind, exhortation number one, do not take the mark of the beast if you are left behind. Anyone who takes the mark of the beast, it says it's going to be inserted in the right hand and the forehead. You cannot buy or sell unless you take the mark of the beast. If you take the mark of the beast, you will be eternally damned in the lake of fire. There's no way, nice way of saying that. Revelation 13. And he, the false prophet, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Remember, this is the time of worldwide starvation. I do have type 2 diabetes. I know what it's like to crave food when my blood sugar goes down. And in the midst of worldwide starvation, you might do anything to save your life and your family's life. I can't let my children die of hunger. I'll take the mark of the beast to save their lives. You will be eternally damned, because Revelation 14, third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, that's the Antichrist, in his image, and receive his mark in the forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone and the smoke of his holy angels in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. If you're left behind, do not take the mark unless you want to go to hell. Like every other time, the only way to escape the wrath to come in the tribulation period is to put your trust in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 12, verse 11 said, they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies, and they loved not their lives unto death. Three ways to overcome Satan: the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimonies, and by their death. Now, one of the sad things that I find in the modern church, when I first got saved, we used to have testimony nights every Sunday evening where people shared how they came to the Lord. And you know, people got saved. As people began to say, this is what I was like, then I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. He took away my sin. He transformed me. And you know, when I first got saved, we had those Sunday evening services every Sunday. You knew if you invited your friends or neighbors out there, you were going to hear the gospel, because people were going to share their testimony. We don't do the Sunday evening testimony anymore. I'm sad. Well, the way of salvation is the same throughout the whole scripture. That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 7 years of tribulation will be the worst time of all human history. If you are left behind, and you do make a profession of faith, you do put your trust in Jesus, the Messiah, you need to keep focused on the blessed hope, the return of Jesus Christ, rather than watching the antics of the Antichrist, looking at what's going on in the world government, looking at keep looking to the coming of the Lord, the blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's true for us living in the church age. We are looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ at the rapture. But after the rapture, I think those words are going to be more precious. You need to keep looking up. Luke 21. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and stars, upon the earth distress of nation with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring, men hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things which were coming upon the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. You need to keep looking to the sky, to the return of the Lord, and not be tempted to look at the Antichrist, the one world religion, the one world government, the one world economic money system. Look to the coming of the Lord. If you are left behind, you need to do everything in your power to protect God's chosen people. See, Zechariah 13 talks about the tribulation holocaust. As it come to pass in all the lands, says the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. That's twice as bad as the Holocaust in World War II. But the third shall be left therein, and I will bring the third part through the fire. You know, the word Holocaust is not Hebrew, it is Greek. Holo meaning holy, cost meaning fire, as in caustic acid. There the Lord will bring one third through the fire. They will refine them as silver is refined and try them as gold is tried. They shall call upon my name and I will hear them and say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. I remember talking to an Orthodox Jew in the hospital who was dying of diabetes. He had not looked after himself. And he was in the final stages of his life. He believed the Bible. He was quite familiar with the Bible. He began to ask, where was God during the Holocaust? I said, God is not finished with the Gentile nations. And I took him to Joel chapter 3. For behold, in those days at that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, when the Jewish people come back to the land, I will also gather all nations, in the Greek, or in the Hebrew, that is Goyim, the Gentiles, and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. The Lord will judge and will plead, and that is a legal term like you might do in a court of law. How do you wish to plead? He will judge the nations there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. I would not want to be part of the United Nations right now because they are trying to part the land of Israel. And God says, I'm going to judge the Gentiles because they have parted my land and they have scattered and killed my people, Israel. And I said, there's a parallel passage found in the Gospel of Matthew. And I read to him these words. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Before him shall be gathered all nations, Goyim, Gentiles. And he shall separate them, the Gentiles, one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and give thee drink? Or saw thee a stranger, and took thee in, naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. My Jewish friend, I looked at him and he was crying. And he said these words, Larry, Jesus is speaking about my people, the children of Israel. I said, you're absolutely right. He will judge my kinsmen, at least half of me, on how I treat the Jewish people. That's at the end of the tribulation period. Now we've already seen that the tribulation saints are not saved by how they're not going to make it into heaven by how they treat the Jewish people. They get into heaven by receiving the Messiah. But you'll be able to judge who is a true believer and who is a false believer by how they treat the Jewish people. Because only a true believer in the Messiah will have the courage and the strength to protect the Jewish people when the Antichrist is trying to kill them. He goes on to talk about the lost Gentiles. Then he shall say unto them on the left, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. If you are here and you don't know the Lord, God didn't create you to go to hell. Hell was made for Satan and the demons. Everyone in this room was created in the image and likeness of God, and God has created to spend eternity with Him in heaven. But if you reject God's mercy and grace, you're going to pay for your own sins. God's not willing that any should perish. He will send the lost into the place of everlasting fire. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, you visit me not. Then shall those also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to the least of these, children of Israel, ye did it not to me, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The way God will judge the Gentiles is by their faith, but their faith will be demonstrated on how they treat the Jewish people. If you're left behind, beware of signs, wonders, miracles, false prophets, false messiahs. Matthew 24, Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, here is the Messiah, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false messiahs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There will be lots of signs to seduce you. in the tribulation period. Beware of signs, wonders, and miracles. 2 Thessalonians, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, and signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness, and them that perished, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe, my King James says, a lie, but actually in the Greek, the lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. If you're left behind, get a Bible. Protect it at all costs. Bury it in the backyard. Bury a second copy in the backyard. Because when the Antichrist comes, I believe it will be a death penalty to have a Bible in your possession. If you're left behind, you need to study passages talking about the tribulation period. I would suggest you begin with the book of Joel and the day of the Lord. You need to look at the book of Daniel, the book of Zechariah, Matthew chapter 24 to 25, Luke chapter 21, Mark chapter 13, the book of the Revelation. Understand that as dark as it is, the Lord is in control. He is going to win. And I saw the beast, that's the Antichrist, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, the Messiah. Against his army, those are the saints returning. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, the beast is the Antichrist, that wrought miracles before him. Remember, you've got to be careful with false signs, wonders, and miracles. With which they deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and then the worship of his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. The false prophet, the Antichrist, are the first inhabitants of the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. At all costs, you must avoid joining the satanic one world religion described in Revelation 17. And there came one of the seven angels that had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been drunk, made drunk with the wine of her fornication. This worldwide religion will have worldwide political influence. And he carried me in the spirit into the wilderness, where I saw a woman upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and seven horns. To begin with, the woman rides the beast. In other words, at the beginning, this worldwide religion will control the Antichrist. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Babylon Mystery Religion was a religion known for its idolatry. A religion that venerated the Queen of Heaven. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Who was it who was killing the saints when John wrote the Revelation? It was Rome. Pick up Fox's Book of Martyrs. Who killed the Christians with the auto da fe in the most cruel way imaginable? It was the Inquisition. By the way, don't think that the Christians had a monopoly on suffering by the Inquisition. Far more Jews were tortured by the Roman Catholic Church during their Inquisition than were Christians. The instruments of torture is beyond imagination. If you ever get a chance to go to Valencia, go to the Inquisition Museum. I've been to the Holocaust Memorial at Auschwitz and Dachau. I am not minimizing the atrocities of the Nazis, but the Nazis were far kinder than the agents of the Inquisition. They burnt you alive. They skinned you alive. And you died a cruel death. Unless you have some questions, the Bible settles it. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. What is the city of seven hills? Rome. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, there's the end of that Babylon mystery religion. These shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest, that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. God is going to judge Rome. He's coming back, and one of the things he's going to do is judge Rome. So if you are left behind, do not get involved in Babylon mystery religion. Application. How close are we? Reading the newspapers. Russia and the USA are moving towards Syria. We're one misfire away from a major war in the Middle East. How close are we? Have you been watching North Korea? I know that Richard is from Manitoba. And I know you have to really be careful with anything you read on Facebook and the internet, but they're warning people in Manitoba that they think Korea's aim is so bad, they're going to nuke Manitoba. Wouldn't that be great if that was around the time of the Banjo Bowl? For all you Rough Rider fans. We'll win that game if that happens. Application, how close are we? The sign, the number one sign is when you see God's chosen people back in the Holy Land for a second time, that tells us we are living in the last days. Application, how close are we? All you have to do is look at the ecumenical movement. There was a video put out a year ago, January, in which Pope had people from different religions saying, we are all the children of God. We all worship the same God. The churches are abandoning their doctrines to become part of a one-world apostate religion centered in the city of Seven Hills. Application for believers. Warning from the book of Ezekiel. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. You cannot afford not to warn your friends and neighbors. First Thessalonians, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye need have no need, I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, out in the darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. And as Billy pointed out, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. And as we see the day approach, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another. If you are lost, you've been watching some of you've seen some of these talks, you're beginning to realize maybe I don't have as much time as I thought. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Joshua said, choose you this day. You can't afford to wait to tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come. You may die before you leave this place. The rapture may take place before this session is over. But Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, if you're watching this video after the rapture, you need to come to faith in the Lord Jesus, realizing that to do so will probably be a death sentence. And I saw the thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which worshipped not the beast, neither his image, neither received the mark in his forehead or hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 7. These are they which have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. As we close, I'm going to put a challenge. I'm going to ask each one of you to search your hearts. Do you know where you would go if you were to die tonight? Do you know for sure that if the rapture took place tonight, you would be caught up to the air, or would you be left behind? If you're not sure, You need to be saved now. For it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Go out to the foyer. There's someone here in this room who's never given their heart to the Lord. I'd like to spend about 5 or 10 minutes with you and share with you how you can know for certain you have eternal life. That you could leave this place knowing that you will escape the wrath to come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, I do pray that you will just touch hearts right now. Lord, if there's someone who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, may they have the courage to just take about 5 minutes and come to the foyer and say, Larry, I'd like to get saved. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.